This is the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church of Ames, a podcast designed to help you live a gospel-fueled and faithful life wherever Jesus has called you.
Well, welcome again to the Equip Podcast. My name is Mark Vance. I'm the lead pastor at Cornerstone Church. I am joined by an incredible individual, Hannah Beth Gilbert. Don't call her Hannah. It's Hannah Beth. It's a double name. Is that a Southern thing? Is that Oregonian thing?
I've never toxic trait where I say that I'm from everywhere because I was born in Houston, Texas. I lived in Toronto, Canada. I grew up in Portland, Oregon. Went to college in Eugene. So, you know, went to Alabama every summer. So whenever someone's like remotely from a place, I'm like, I'm from there. So yeah, people know me as coming from Oregon, but I have Southern roots, as you can see by my double name.
From the devil name. What you need to do, Hannah Beth, is tell people that that's a Canadian thing. Just be like, oh yeah, I picked that up in Toronto.
When I was in first grade in Canada, you know, it's just how it goes.
That's how they go. So we are going to cover a ton of ground. We're going to cover Hannah Beth's Canadian roots. We're going to really talk today, actually, though, about getting to know Hannah Beth. She's one of the lead team at our Salt Company ministry here in Ames, Iowa. And I think, Hannah Beth, what we can learn from you, I mean, there's so many things, but there's just this window that you have through the front row seat that God gives you into what he's doing in college students, in Salt Company, that's really informative, really powerful. And also, we regularly do this on the Equip Podcast because really it's a ministry of Cornerstone Church, and it's a podcast we designed for our church people predominantly. And it's a chance to get to know some of the leaders in the church, some people who are serving us and serving the students. So it's first that we want to start here, which is Hannah Beth. Tell us a little bit about yourself, about your God story. How do you come to faith in Christ, and how do you come from the great state of Canada to the great state of Iowa?
Oh my gosh, there's going to be so many people that are like, oh, what part of Canada? And I'll be like, I was seven. Oakville. So my story, I grew up in an incredible home, got an older brother, younger sister. We're all H's. Don't need to know that, but now you do. Two incredible parents that loved Jesus, loved us really well. Grew up knowing that there was a God who knew my name and loved me, and Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And it was super like easy to believe as a kid. Okay, great. I want to follow Jesus. Sure. But then like we moved around because of my dad's job. Moved to Canada for a bit, but then by the time we landed in Oregon, suffering hit our family. My parents got divorced. My dad's company exploded. He worked for Enron, if you remember that. So we went like, even just like the way that life went of, we have everything we need to like, whoa, we're struggling. And in the middle of divorce, in the middle of my dad finding out he had Hep C, had to go through chemo. Is dad going to die? Oh my gosh. Like just a ton of suffering, pretty localized and isolated to like end of elementary school, beginning of middle school. So I had this like hard heart towards God when I was like a little sixth grader. I was upset, like going to church, you know, I'm like, oh, this Jesus stuff is bothering me because I don't feel like God loves me and I don't want to follow Jesus and I'm out. So that's kind of where I was in middle school. And really, I would say God really got a hold of me, and really I felt the presence of God for the first time in the eighth grade. Going into the eighth grade, I went to a camp with a church that I didn't even go to, but my friends were going to go to this summer camp. And I felt the love of God. And it was like the first time I felt like God was looking at me in love. And I broke down crying in front of my friends, which, oh my gosh, in middle school, disaster. And was so moved. I got baptized. I came back and went from being this mean girl. Can you imagine? I was a brat.
No. Oh my gosh. I mean, a mean Canadian Hannah Beth. It's just hard to wrap our minds around, really. It's a tough picture.
I went from being this like terrible of a girl to really like sweet, insecure, a heart for the outcast, like loving people, but just not really knowing what it meant to follow Jesus at all. So, end of high school was where I would say I had this awareness all through high school. I think I'm a lukewarm Christian. It's like, I didn't do anything about being a Christian. I just kind of went to church with my friends and my dad and my mom. I was like, what am I? And yeah, end of high school, junior year, my friends invited me to a youth group, and I was very anti-youth group. Like, I don't do that. And it was this like little 20 person youth group, mostly homeschool kids with like a couple of us public school girls. And I like came out a different person, like started realizing, oh my gosh, like life is about the life to come. And I think that I would use the word God-centered. I heard a pastor say, you know, for some people, God is just another star in the constellation of their life. I've got God in sports, in school, in family, in friends, and it makes it the constellation of you. But truly, to know the God of the universe and to be saved by the blood of Jesus, he is the sun in your solar system and everything is orbiting around him. So hearing that and being part of a local church that really believed that and taught me how to read my Bible, taught me how to believe the love of God for me, even when I sin, taught me how to share the gospel. I just went nuts and started sharing the gospel at school and went to University of Oregon and sinned my face off my first semester, like had a horrible start to freshman year, knew the gospel super well, didn't plug into a church, didn't plug into community, really hard to transition, and was in a really dark, bad spot. And that's actually where I started going to Saul Rexius's college ministry called The Good Fight in Eugene, Oregon, University of Oregon. So,
wow. Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. So God like really met me at that place. Like Saul, I decided to go there because I was like, that guy can preach. Like I want to go here and I need to hear about the love of God right now in this dark time of freshman year. So, God pulled me out of this spot and, got hired at the end of my freshman year to be a intern for our college ministry. Yeah. So
high bar. There's a high bar there that Saul was running at The Good Fight. High interview bar.
I just was super manipulative. Just kidding. I don't know. God like really rescued me out of sin over winter break. And so I came back with this like vengeance and didn't share my sin with anyone and kind of had this like, I'm going to restore right standing with God with a bunch of church activity. So Saul, not knowing all this stuff, because I was, you know, not even a part of his ministry, it's not his fault. He just sees like, geez, this girl's coming with like troves of freshmen every week. And she's like setting up chairs and being crazy. And then he offered me a job. Riches in heaven for that man of what he's had to work with. Yeah, that's my story. So my first job in my life was college ministry.
College ministry. And now you're still here in Iowa. Jeez. Doing so connect the dots, Oregon to Iowa briefly.
Yeah, so I went to college to be a school teacher, want to be a middle school English teacher. I think I would have done a great job because I am
absolutely
weird and loud. But so all I've laughed, like he hired me, like maybe she can help with tasks or like getting stuff done. And he quickly realized she is useless for getting things accomplished, but she's got a lot of ideas and a lot of energy and a lot of heart and a lot of arrogance and need for coaching and such. My goodness. But God's so kind. And he, just gave me a space to learn how to meet up with girls and try and shepherd them and get the gospel to them. And started just doing stuff that he just was so kind to trust me with ministry, honestly, before I deserved it, but he believed in me and saw through a lot of sin and arrogance. And did I say arrogance? There's a lot of arrogance. So anyways, Saul, junior year, sat me down and had a vision, like, hey, not a literal vision, but like vision for me. Hey, I think you need to consider going full-time after college and I would love to hire you. And I was like, what the? I went home and I cried on my fuzzy white carpet. Like, God, if he only knew who I was, he'd never want me to work for a church. Oh my gosh. And then I just said, yeah. So then graduated early, went full time, worked a year and a half or something full time. And then this rando crazy guy named Mark Vance calls Saul and is like, hey, man, take my job. I think that's a paraphrase.
Yeah, it's pretty much the conversation. You nailed it, Hannah Beth, yeah, right yeah, there. Yeah.
It's like I was there. You called Saul and he's like, can I bring this girl, Hannah Beth? She's 21, 2, 3, something, 22, 23. And y'all were like, eh, okay. And I've never left. So. Mark.
The story.
I came in to join Salt Staff in Ames, summer 2017, and I was like 1 year older than the other first year residents, but started the 2 year residency. And over and over and over, God has every time I'm like, I'm gonna move overseas and be a missionary. I'm gonna, you know, go on this church plant. I'm going to Oregon back with Saul and Generations. God is like, nope, Ames, nope, Ames, nope, Ames. So I just feel like, yeah, God has changed my life at Cornerstone Church, at the Salt Company. I feel like I had the same experience of freshmen who come and learn. They can share the worst about themselves in a gospel community and be loved and received and met with freedom in Christ. So yeah, it's changed my life to be here, and that's why I'm staying for the long haul.
That's right. Well, we are privileged to have you here, and you're part of the team now, Hannah Beth, along with Graham Spruill, who is the director, Nick Harsh, associate director, Hannah Beth Gilbert, the associate director team of Salt Company here in Ames, and we're really thrilled about that. We are so excited for what God's going to do in Generations Church, but we're thrilled about the work he's doing in Salt Company in Ames, and you get a front row seat. So yeah. I want you to just share a little bit. It's really hard to do this, but I want you to share a little bit of like some of the God stories maybe that you see coming out of Salt Company. It's hard because, you know, some of them are so personal. It's like, hey, let's just blast your name and your God story, you know, out on a podcast. I don't know if that's the most appropriate venue, but what's a way to give people a window, Hannah Beth, into what God's doing?
Yeah, you said it really well just now. Like, it's one of those things where, so this is my 6th year on our staff team, and every year I would be able to say, we saw people place their faith in Jesus. We saw people share the sin that's eating them alive in shame for the first time and kill it. We saw people, you know, stepping outside of themselves and caring for other people in the most selfish years of their life. It's like, you see it every year, but it doesn't get old because it's different people. And even though it's like the, you know, what's that word? Amnesia. We're like, oh, should I even say that? We're like, the Israelites just keep forgetting, like, God's going to provide. Right, he's right, better. Right. God's going to provide. He's better. It's like, even though you see it over and over and God just keeps blowing our mind every year, we just bawl our eyes out at the end of the year saying thank you to God when we're done in May. Like, we cannot believe what we just saw you do. You still have that feeling when you're looking at a student who's caught in sin or doesn't want to place their faith in Jesus or is causing chaos in, you know, their D group, or you just think, oh no, like what's going to happen? And so every year to see God just throw down, honestly, and blow our minds with the way he's changing people. It's just incredible. It is incredible. So I went to our Salt Staff group me, which is like our text thread, where we're like, and also, hey, you need to get this done. And also, does anyone know if? So that's our group chat, you know. I'm
so glad you gave us those three windows as well. The exactly. Get stuff done. Does anyone know if group chat? Just everybody's got that in their life. Hannah Beth.
Everyone can rest assured it's been great. Great leadership. I just searched the little red siren emoji because most of the time, not every time, but most times when one of our staff members gets the privilege of leading someone to Jesus, they'll put some red sirens in. It's like the salvation sirens, like, wee woo, wee woo. We have a new brother or sister in Christ. Let's celebrate.
And do you make like, that noise too, Hannah Beth? Do you make the
I'm not the
wee moo, wee moo? Oh, no.
I have
oh, my word.
Called, it's like this little air horn on my phone, and we just go, where, where.
When someone gets saved. Oh, my goodness.
They deserve it. I have full confidence that the heavens are joining us with wee woos.
That's right. The angels are rejoicing with their, you know, apps out. Honk, honk, honk. I'm just dying laughing, thinking about this.
But anyway, so I I searched the red siren, and just in like a quick scroll, I counted 29 of those red sirens. Were not 20, only 29 people have gotten saved this year at SALT, but there's been 29 times that our staff has had that harvest moment, like 1 Corinthians 3, some plant, some water, some harvest. Well, you know, intuitively some harvest, but God gives the growth. Like, our staff have had 29 moments of watching someone place their faith in Jesus for the first time, which we're celebrating a ton. And so I just want to give, without like reading all the things, just like a quick taste. One of our staff guys, Luke, who's we're commissioning to go overseas tonight. We're going to bawl our eyes out and dance our faces off to celebrate Luke and Emma going out to India to share the gospel long term overseas. But he sent in one and he was like, last night met this guy alone in the foyer at the beginning of the night. You know, God had been tugging at his heart and he shows up to SALT Company. Heard a story where he was, I shared the gospel, asked him if he'd ever repent of his sins. He said no. And then he decided, let's watch the sermon together. I'll think about it and we'll decide after. So Luke and this guy are watching Graham preach an incredible sermon and sharing the gospel. And so then after, Luke writes, like, talked for a while. He repented, formally dedicated his life in obedience to Jesus. Immediately he was filled with this Holy Spirit. He felt his presence of God, and had inexpressible joy. It was like a movie, crazy. So that's like a little story of like, Oh my gosh, that just is like, yep, another Thursday, like doing our jobs and you're watching someone go from death to life, which is really incredible. Yeah. But
what a privilege. What a privilege. You know, it's, you've got the high stories, you've got the difficult stories. I described it at one point, somebody said, what's SALT Company ministry like? I'm like, okay, take that high story with a Luke, which is like enough to make you cry, you know, and apparently also pull your phone out and do a fake siren noise with it. You know, we're just so overwhelmed with joy. There's also, I took a counseling class at Bible college and I pulled my counseling book off my shelf one time here and I read through it and all the case studies of difficult things. I was like, yep, we did one of those this semester, three of those, four of those. It's like living through this hyper condensed period of people's growth. So there's a hyper condensed amount of repentance and of change and of gospel growth. And so it's just, it's all of that, mm-hmm. a front row seat inside of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that comes with incredible joys, sometimes comes with incredible challenges. So what do you think are some of the challenges right now? When you look at this generation of not just, you know, people, but SALT Company, college students that we're doing ministry to through SALT Company, what are some of the challenges to that, Hannah Beth?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're so right that you see people in the most transformative.
Yeah, I think that works. Transformational. Let's go with transformational. Transformorbative. Transformorbative. I think that's the word.
We see that. And so you just get a lot. Best of times, worst of times. I would say the challenges that feel, it's not like they're new, but I would say these challenges were maybe medium to low when I began college ministry, that are now like aggravated, kind of more a different kind of wee woo sirens, like, ah, we need help. After COVID, we kind of all thought, oh cool, everyone like got reset and now people will live like kind of slower, more healthy lives. No, quite the opposite. College students are flying a million miles an hour. And I'm guilty of this too. I understand. But they're busy and they're exhausted and they have a ton of commitments. And every commitment that they had coming out of COVID was like, oh, well, let's do all these other things. And so they're pulled. And it feels really uncomfortable to stop because they're in a, you know, this generation of social media, you're stimulated all the time. There's noise. You got AirPods and walking to class, you're talking to people. It's like the slowness and stillness where our souls thrive with Jesus, it's really uncomfortable to get there. So they're busy, 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 exhausted, exhausted, which really pokes at mental unhealth. I mean, the up and to the right, is that the way to say that? Like, mental health issues are, it's like my job. That's just, I have them and it's my job, because college students are away from their families, which for some people is a relief, and they're carrying in mental unhealth because their families have been unhealthy, or they're destabilized. They're trying to learn how to make friends and be a good friend, and they're dating and breaking up, and they're, you know, failing classes. It's just, there's so much going on that we see a lot of, I would say, debilitating mental health issues. Not just they're present. I feel anxious. I feel a depressive lull right now. I feel, you know, but I would say more and more debilitating anxiety, debilitating depression.
Wow.
Yeah. Which then kind of connects to the fact that we're still healing from trauma. We feel it at SALT. We are still, you know, people ran for their lives in June, and it's only March, early March.
So right, right.
9 months or something, 9 months, 10 months. And you see that, like, it's a little more exaggerated. The people who, their support system, their counseling, just own post-traumatic resilience and growth has kicked in, versus more, people who are really struggling, and like the struggle is getting more and more. And so that's something that really moves us as we continue, as our staff continues to heal. We see that as a big challenge. And then lastly, it's like trending to not trust large churches, and we are a large college ministry, and we love our students. We love them. And we're imperfect. And sometimes what we think is going to be the most loving totally isn't. And so I think that's the increasing pull of being suspicious. Well, do you guys really, is that really the right thing? Why are you guys? I think that's been something I've had to learn how to navigate, that is, with all this high energy growth and transformation, look what God's doing in you, there does come a lot of challenge for us to do our best to love and lead people to Jesus.
Yeah, there's a generational movement in some ways toward a deep distrust and suspicion and cynicism toward more established things.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas the prior generation said, oh, that's a big church. I bet they've got their act together. This generation does not lean that way, do they? It's actually, I find with younger people, maybe one of the most common hurdles I have to overcome sharing the gospel is, I'm a pastor of a very, very large church. And they go, oh, well, then I don't know about you then. You know, it's a different lean. And there's opportunity there. We have resources and people and care. But you have to shepherd that really well to overcome that, don't you? So final question for you today, which is when I ask a lot of our staff who come on, which is, how can we be praying for you? How can we be praying for SALT Company Ames?
I would direct everyone's prayers toward our upcoming interview season. So this is an iconic season coming up for our SALT staff and students. Every year, the 5 weeks following spring break, we are sitting down with any student who has gone through our application process to become a SALT Company leader. So that is a time filled with incredible, like, the privilege we have to see God's work in the students that we lead. It is, I'm just like crying all the time, and it's awesome. And there's moments where, yeah, when there's a person who actually their best yes for thriving in their walk with Jesus at SALT Company is returning to the connection group as a member who has a new vision, new focus of growth, before they carry the burden of leading the whole group. That can be hard to receive sometimes, especially if it's unexpected. And so asking for prayer that the students would feel super loved, and they would literally sense the presence of God through us, encouraging them and reflecting God's work back to them, and that we wouldn't be, there would be no scarcity of encouraging words and speaking truth to them. But yeah, that God would lead us to make great decisions that help people thrive at Salt Company. It's a yes to Salt Company. Where can we help you thrive next year? And then, yeah, just like staff energy. We do it for 5 weeks. We also sit down with every single one of our current leaders and just reflect on God's faithfulness over the year. And it is our favorite time of the year. Also kickoff, also conference, also fall retreat. You know, we love the whole year. We love the whole year, but we love this part of the year. But yeah, like just that people would ask God to give us energy and resilience to like not shortchange any privileged moment we get with a student.
Well, Annabeth, it's a joy every moment here on the Equip podcast. I'm certain this is going to have to be a repeat guest here. We'll find something else to talk about. Maybe you can walk me through how you use GroupMe, the social, you know, the savvy that you use with emojis and texting is next level. But
you genuinely recently told me I'm not allowed to use exclamation points in emails.
Well, you use like 50 world. Like just be, you know, terse and direct, but that's a coaching moment. We don't need to go there on the Equip podcast. So friends out there, I want Annabeth, you to hear me and others to hear me say, we are so thankful that God called you here to Ames, Iowa, and the gospel fruit of your life is all over you. And those prayers, we're going to be praying that for Salt Company Ames. We love you and love the work that God's doing through you and in the ministry. So thanks for taking a little bit of time out of that to join us today on the Equip podcast.
It's an honor. I would rather be nowhere else. Love life here. Thanks for having me.
Love it, Annabeth.